Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Do you know, I love doing this program because I want you to eat good food. I want you to eat the kind of food that will nourish your soul. And there's no food like God's Word. I love good food, but this is eternal food. This is what God wants to give you, is food to lead you to life everlasting. This is not just, this is the reading. This is God's Word to you. He knew you. No matter how long ago this was written, He knew you. He knows you now, every one of you. He knows where you are. He knows how you're thinking. He knows what you're doing. Turn to Him. Trust Him. Let's pray that for one another, of all those who listen to this program. Let's pray that His Word bring us into His presence. Pray in our souls. This first reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Brothers and sisters, I could not talk to you as spiritual people, but as fleshly people, as infants in Christ. I fed you milk, not solid food, because you were unable to take it. Indeed, you are still not able, even now, for you are still of the flesh. While there is jealousy and rivalry among you, are you not of the flesh and walking according to the manner of man? Whenever someone says, I belong to Apollos, another says, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely men? What is Apollos, after all, and what is Paul? Ministers through whom you became believers. Just as the Lord assigned each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. Therefore, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God, who causes the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive wages in proportion to his labor. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. We are God's co-workers. Have you ever thought about that? We're so tied up into ourselves. What am I going to do today? What do I have to do today? Who do I have to talk to today? What work do I need to get done today? Let the first question be, what does God want of me today? Doesn't mean He's going to write out a whole itinerary for you. Doesn't mean that. But you'll have a sense of what is most important. Prioritize. Don't just wear yourself out trying to get done as much as you can get done. Ask the Lord. Lord, bless me that I make the right decision. Lord, bless me. Help me today in the work that I have to do. Help me to know what's most important. Help me, Lord. I ask that you would walk with me every step of the way today. He will. He loves you. Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be His own. Blessed the nation whose God is the Lord. We say, here in the United States, we say, we are one nation under God. Are you under God? Do you listen to Him? Bless the nation whose God is the Lord. Oh yeah, we have many churches. Yes, we have many people who are good, solid Christians and Catholics. Yes, we have them. But what about you? What about you? Brothers and sisters, take a good look at your life. Wherever you are, take a good look and say, are my priorities clear? Is God first? Is my neighbor second? Is my family first and second and third? In other words, does family have a very, very important place in my life? Or is it if there's just time when I get all the work done? There might be a season where we have a time like that, but it should not be forever. Bless the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. He's chosen you. He wants you to be his own. From heaven the Lord looks down. He sees all mankind. From his fixed throne he beholds all who dwell on the earth. He who fashioned the heart of each, he who knows all their works. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice. It's in his holy name that we trust. Make sure your priorities aren't out of place. It's God first. And then your family, your wife, your husband, your family. But the first is God's. What does God want of me today? And you'll be amazed at how they overlap by God's care. And the verse for the gospel says, "The Lord sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor and to proclaim liberty to captives." Sometimes we're very poor. There are the poor of the world who really need to hear the gospel. But don't discount yourself. We're poor in many ways. We need God. We need him to lead us and to guide us and to show us the way. And then we look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 38 to 44. After Jesus left the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon. Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever, and they interceded with him about her. He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she got up immediately and waited on them. Think of that. She got up immediately and waited for him. At sunset, all who had people sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on each of them and cured them. And demons always came out from many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus left and went to a deserted place. The crowds went looking for him, and when they came to him, they tried to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "To the other towns also, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Brothers and sisters, how often do you read the scripture? Do you have a Bible in your home? Do you read it every day? Start from the beginning and just read through. And then you'll find particular gospels you want to go back, read them through from beginning to the end. But read the scripture. Let the word of God become part of your life, not just something you check out every once in a while, but something that guides your life. That's what God wants. He gives us the food of charity, that we may be strengthened. He gives us the courage and the strength to serve our neighbor, and that's what we want. That's what we want. Don't just, "Oh, I went to church, I'm all done now. That's all I have to do." No. No. That's but the beginning. It is the beginning. But it's but the beginning. Well, how wonderful it would be for the Lord if we all became his disciples and really put him first in our hearts. It would do a lot the way we treated one another. It would do a lot for ourselves. Far more than we understand. The scripture is the word of life for us. Remember that. Read it thoroughly. And I came across in the Magnificat magazine a wonderful little passage by Rita Simons. Some of you may know her. She's written some books and lots of poetry. And this is something that she said. "Our Savior was not sent to attend to everything at once. It must have hurt him to refuse the eyes asking him to stay, as he sensed the call from distant towns tearing him away. Now we have social networking systems which instantly transmit desire, send images of accompaniment, tap hearts, magnify faces, and receive endless solicitations. Rita Simmons wrote this: "The mind skips like an old record, or gets carried off by emoji eyes and likes that lead to continuous swipes. We're fatigued from constant tweets devoid of depth. In every age, there must be a place where Christ can rest. Would your heart be a desert that draws him? Can your mind hold a single thought?" Brothers and sisters, he loves us so much. He loves us. He desires us. He wants us to become one with him, really. He wants us to become one with him. God is our Heavenly Father. He loves us deeply. He died for us in his Son. He loves us. Are you getting that? God isn't just someone way out there. He knows your every thought. He knows your mind. He knows your heart. I want to encourage you. Trust him. Talk to him in the morning. Take at least a 15-minute time of prayer somewhere during the day. And don't tell me you're too busy. You can't be too busy for God. So let's look at reordering your schedule. Let's look at what would make it possible. Give God at least 15 minutes a day. Listen to his word. Read the scriptures. And ask God how to follow him more and more closely. I ask you most of all to read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start with those and read them carefully. Read them carefully. God will draw you to himself because his word is life-giving. It has the power to change your life, really, if your heart is open. And the way that you can make your heart be open is at least give God 10 minutes. Start out with 10 minutes a day, where you read the scriptures of the day or any scripture and you ponder, what is God saying to you? How does God love you? He wants to meet you. He wants to care for you. He does. But he gave you a free will. He gave you a free will. Brothers and sisters, open your heart to him. He loves you and wants you with him for all eternity. May God abundantly bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.